Hello, everyone. Welcome to That Mill Podcast, close season special. Three regular hosts here today. Myself, Omer, joined by my regular Mickey Simpson. Hello, mate. You all right?
Yes, mate. You? Yeah. Been a while.
It has been a little while. And obviously joining us as always is Mr. Neil Fizzler. How you doing, Neil?
How you going, boys? Good afternoon. Even good evening, everyone.
We're all a bit rusty today.
First fuck up of the podcast. Correct. Has come from me.
That's it. We're all a bit rusty today. I think I even jumped my words a little bit there. It's been a little while from us. We took a little bit of a hiatus, obviously, the season ending, and it kind of dwindled out to nothingness in the end, as we all know. Today, we're just going to talk about a few various topics, obviously, give our initial thoughts after the season. Just a quick review of that. I think, you know, everyone's done to death on that, so we won't go on too much about that. We'll also talk about our thoughts of the squads and what we're going to be looking to try and strengthen for next season. I'll obviously talk about a few rumours and a few links. And obviously, we've confirmed a couple signings already. And we'll also be discussing our initial hopes and expectations going into next season, talk about the teams that have come into our division. But yeah, we'll get straight into that after this. Okay, so welcome to the first part of the show. Today, we're going to be quickly discussing season 2020-21. Neil, go on, give me your initial thoughts on 2020-21, and obviously, you know, I suppose just sum it up for us as best as you can, mate. How did you feel?
Mate, it was a strange old season, really, wasn't it? It still feels like last season because there was not much of a close season. So all the seasons seemed to merge into one, didn't it? And I'm glad it's over, put it that way. It was decent overall, I think. I think we're more than happy to finish 10th, 11th in the table. Same old problems, really, wasn't it? Couldn't score any goals. Entertainment value was lacking at times. It was just actually typical Millwall, wasn't it?
So an 11th place finish for the Lions. It was 46 games, 15 wins, 17 draws and 14 defeats. Goals for was 47. For me, it's kind of the story of our season and that fact for us, especially when you look at the teams in and around us. And also the goals against was 52 with a negative goal difference of -5. I think normally for me anyway, Mickey, if you finish in the top half of the table, you don't normally have a negative goal difference. It's normally positive goal difference, signs of an encouraging season. But a -5 goal difference, I mean, initial thoughts, Mickey, from yourself for the 2020-21 season, mate?
It was weird, strange, same as what Neil said. I mean, it was just something what you've never seen before. I mean, you know, the Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, the different days games are played on and the ferocity of the games coming, it was... The first half, you got excited, didn't you? Like the first half of the season, it was cool. And then it just started faltering where you just wanted it to come to an end and you want to be able to be back in that ground. It was just getting more and more depressing as the season went on. But you know what? The playoffs and all that have ended, you know, in good games and there's been a bit of good football, some choice decisions in today's games and stuff. But the end of the season sort of ended okay, I suppose. English Champions League's final, etc., etc. So, yeah, no, it was a strange season, though.
Well, we actually had a scenario where the team that finished third place in the league actually went up as well as joined the top two, and that was Norwich City, Watford and Brentford. The three teams going down were Wickham, Rotherham and Sheffield Wednesday, who obviously had that negative, I think, -5 in the end start to the season. Any arguments on the top three and bottom three, Neil? I mean, obviously, Norwich going up, Watford going up, and finally Brentford getting there in the end. It'd be interesting to see how they do next season. But yeah, I think, you know, I think on paper, probably the best three teams in the division. Maybe Bournemouth might feel hard done by, but I suppose the table doesn't lie when them three were the top three.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue with it. Brentford, I think after bottling it for however many seasons, it was going to happen that they were eventually going to get up. They were too good a team, weren't they? Swansea, well, they weren't that good, were they? Bournemouth, as you say, could feel a little bit aggrieved, but I think they were just a little bit short, weren't they? It was only when they changed the manager a couple of times that they really looked like doing anything. And the top two, you can't really argue with, can you? Because they were by far and away the best two teams in the league. A bit disappointed that Derby didn't go down, actually, because I think it would have been hilariously funny. Wayne Rooney, Derby County, after all the fanfare and the Fiore and everything else that was bought into it, I think they were slightly lucky. Sheffield Wednesday, I think Roy's up against it, weren't they? Rotherham, I think, eventually got out of it.
They went down Rotherham, yeah. It was Wickham, Rotherham and Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, they did their best to fuck it up, didn't they? Yeah, they had, what, 4 or 5 games in hand and couldn't win any of them. And I think Wickham were destined to go down as soon as they got promoted.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I feel quite, Wickham seemed to try and actually make a thing of it at the end, but I think they left it too little too late. And, you know, I think they were a team that grafted, but ultimately their budget, you know, they weren't going to compete on a level playing field in this division. So, yeah, I mean, for us, going back to us, I mean, for myself, if you said to me at the start of the season, we will finish 11th place in the table, I would have took it. I think ultimately, if I sum up 2020-21, you know, if you said to me, I wouldn't have seen a game live, it's the unthinkable, really. So, I mean, overall, we'll have to say that's, I think, a fair representation of our season. We didn't score many goals, Mickey. I mentioned it a little while ago there, but 47 goals in 46 games. And I think for me, that's ultimately where a lot of it went wrong, mate.
Yeah, that's the big problem I think he's got with looking for signings. He's looking for a proven striker or even midfield who can, you know, 10, 15 goals. And then, you know, realistically, if we could sign, you know, 2 strikers who can score 15 goals each or more, I think it's game on then next season. You know, as long as they can do it in the Championship, depending if they come from lower league or if they come from Europe, because it's good to hear that we're now scouting in Europe for a change. If it can, then yeah, fantastic. And I think we'd definitely be up there ready to push. But without those proven strikers or even midfield, someone who can score goals, I think we're banging trouble again.
So, Jed Wallace finishing top goal scorer again. Well, I think last season actually was Matt Smith. So, I will say I put a caveat to that. But Jed Wallace with 11 goals. I think it was him. Then it was Mason Bennett with 6. We then had Tom Bradshaw with 4. And then you had Matt Smith getting 3 with Ben Thompson getting 3. And then you also had, I think, Scott Malone chipping in along the way. Scott Malone, I've got on my list. He's not on my list for some reason, actually. I think he can finish with 3 in the league as well, Scott Malone. I might be mistaken. And a couple in the cup. And then obviously, then you've got 1s and 2s, really. That's about it. I think, Neil, like we said it there about the goal scoring, but you know, it's important. We do need to try and get that sorted for next season, don't you think, mate?
Yeah, definitely. I think we were all a bit carried away when we signed Troy Parrott at the start of the transfer window last year. We thought, yes, because obviously everybody's seen the pedigree that he's got in youth football and under 23s football, but the signing was a disaster. So we went back to the drawing board, didn't we? Bought in probably the most unfit striker I think we've had in a very long time, Ken Sahor. Absolute disaster, a complete waste of wages. And it didn't work out, and that was the one area of the team that really, really let us down, was putting the ball in the back of the net. And part of me thinks, what could have been? Because this was the season, I think, because of COVID and everything else, was the season to push on. I think Barnsley were tipped by most people to get relegated at the start of the season, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first, isn't it?
Agree. I think this season, if they'd have had a couple of strikers, like I said, you know, a couple of strikers, midfield or whatever, who could score, you know, 10, 15, 20 goals, I think the whole thing would have been different. Our biggest problem was the lack of, even though we had a good mix of players what have scored goals, you know, like you were saying, you know, like 10, 11, 6 and 4 and a few ones and all that. You've got a good thing. You just need all of them to be able to at least double their scoreline and have someone else who can score 15 goals a season. And then I think, yeah, I mean, wouldn't it have been fantastic to fucking, after the shit year we've had with the media, to suddenly really, really spit in their eye and fucking get promoted to the Premiership. The whole of, you imagine the whole of post-season, coming up towards the new season, there'll be a new story on fucking on Sky Sports or whatever, mate. You know what I mean? Like the Premier League's looking to ban Millwall away fans. The football unit is not fearing, you know, Millwall fans travelling the width and breadth of the country to the Premier League. They'll be outcry. They'll be talking about this in the House of Commons, mate, fucking looking to see if there's a loophole they can ban us on. Do you know what I mean?
You would have pushed the European Super League through, wouldn't they, for a start?
Don't.
Going to them clubs.
I thought we could make a little bit of fun of the scenario and obviously just maybe quick fire questions, chaps. I did send them to you before we went on, but I'll come to each of you and just get one of each. I won't get you off all both of you for each answer, but play along also. We've put a tweet online if you want to reply to that and just give us your thoughts of the season and just initial thoughts. I guess we'll go to you first, Mickey. Your highlight of the season. What's the sticks in the memory for you? That's a real highlight for you. I mean, you should have to think about this, but maybe that's the sign of the season, mate. But come on, give me one highlight, one moment where you thought, all right, here we go. Come on. You could say the season ending if you want, mate, because I feel like that's what you're going to, that's the impression I'm getting from you here.
No, I don't know. I mean, there's a few.
It doesn't have to be a game. It could be a moment.
There was a few good games, but I mean.
I'll give you mine. My highlight of the season is Danny McNamara's arrival to the team. Danny Mac coming in. Putting Romeo under pressure, and for me, finishing the season as the first choice right back. And hopefully, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Romeo. He's still contracted to the club. We'll get on to the discussion about the playing squad in the next part of the show. But I think Danny Mac, highlight for me, and also Billy Mitchell coming into the team towards the end of the season. Less impressive, but then again, he already had his moment to shine the season before when he came in at the end. But Danny Mac, for me, nailing down the right back position was my highlight. Come on then, see if that's helped you out, Mickey.
No, I mean... There's a few. It's like what Thingy said, you know, the start of the season was buzzing because of Parrott. And then he turned it into be a fucking, you know, it was like we thought we were getting a big fucking bird and we, you know, we ended up getting a sparrow as such. I agree with you with Danny McNamara. I think there's been a couple of games where we've had great results. I don't know what the highlight is. I know what my low light is, but I don't know what a highlight is, mate.
Neil, give me a highlight. Neil, you're not. I normally associate you as the... I think a lot of people listen to the show and might associate you as the negative Neil, but give me a highlight for your for the season, mate. Come on, please.
Getting followed by Scott Malone on Twitter. highlight of the season. McNamara, I think there were some good games. Coming on board with the podcast because it helped me get through a brutal lockdown. The end of the season, I think, because I was that jaded by the end of it. I think we all were. That when that final whistle went on that Coventry game, I think it was, oh, thank God we don't have to go through any more of this shit. Actually, I have got two other moments of the season. West Ham not making the Champions League after thinking that they were nailed on.
Nice.
Yeah, and Charlton bottling the playoffs. How brilliant is that?
Yeah, fair enough. I thought a highlight for a game, I'll pick one out. I'll go 4-1 against Sheffield Wednesday because that was a bit out of the blue and didn't think that was going to happen. So I'll say that for myself as well. Come on then, Mickey, give me a low light. Give me something that's not fond of the memory of the season.
Well, one of the it's not really Millwall either. It was more to do with the season with the FA when they decided a week and a half out of Remembrance Day to ban service personnel because of COVID regulations inside the ground. So, you know, I spoke to Mel and whatnot and said to her thing that she managed to pull it off and get it done outside on Lee Rigby's bench, which I think is probably a much better, or not Lee Rigby's bench, Lee Callahan's bench, and where Lee Rigby's plaque is. And I think that was a fantastic thing with the club and Mel and whatnot. But yeah, the FA last minute just blocking it on poxy COVID rules when all the people who were going to be involved were on quarantine anyway because they were involved in other events. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest low light of the event, yeah, probably. Oh, and the media world not getting us over a certain event what took place during that season. But, yeah,
And on that event that I think everyone knows about, I think it's with fans being back in the Premier League as well. I thought it's just poignant to mention that. But we won't go delve into that. Go on, Neil. Give me a low light for yourself.
Opportunity missed, I think, for us not signing a striker that we needed. Because it's cost us big time. The media reaction to what happened at the Derby County game, I thought, was, considering it's happened however many times before or since.
And since then, fuck all.
Yeah. Yeah. And since then, it's not a peep. Same old Millwall, not being able to go to the games because obviously we've been doing this remotely, and it'd be good to finally meet up and have a beer and just do one of these, the three of us. Yep, and maybe some of the people that we've got to meet.
You've got a blue
joining
tick, mate.
Us. Have I got a blue tick, have I, Mick?
Okay. I said you've got a blue tick, mate. That's why you're buying the beer, mate.
But I don't want to be too negative. I don't want to look upon, I don't want to dwell upon what the low points were, because, yeah, we'll have to be positive about it.
I think 2021, I think we can all conclude, is just a season just to write off, not even to remember it. It'll go down in the record books. It'll be written down somewhere in the history books that I'm sure, you know, we'll refer to. But I think it's a season that a lot of us won't have many memories from. And I think that's fair to say that. I've also put your Millwall moment of the season, chaps. I'll give you an example of mine. Mine would be Gary Rowett getting COVID, Millwall going to Preston winning 2-0. Then the striker that we signed, Kensal Hall, getting injured. And then playing Huddersfield on the weekend, who were below us, and I think in the relegation zone at the time, and getting turned over 3-0. For me, that's a Millwall moment of the season for me. Go on, Mickey. What's your Millwall moment of the season? That's as Millwall as it... For me, that's as Millwall as it gets. And that's what... I didn't tell you what I meant by your Millwall moment, but for me, that's Millwall, isn't it?
Yeah, playing a fucking dead cert win and fucking getting spanked.
It's Millwall.
Yeah, proper. I'll tell you what mine is. because of you, when they fucking split the fan base, A and B, and A got to go to the game, and then B never did. It was there. You could touch it. They took it away.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, I can still remember.
That's typical Millwall.
Almost in tears. He was almost in tears, wasn't he? Realising that he was in Cat B, and then after those two games, he went into lockdown again.
I also called it. I called it at the time. I said, what's going to happen is the first two Cat A games, because I give him more time to sort it, give him all the tickets, and I guarantee after two games, we'll be back in lockdown. And I nailed it. I called it on the head there. So, yeah, I mean... For God's sake, I'll move on from that one. But come on, Neil, give me another Millwall moment for you that sticks in the memory, if at all.
Oh, Friday Night Live would be one. Just getting to interact with people and getting to know more people, because that was an inspirational thing that we started.
I suppose that could be your podcast moment as well, because that's what I've put podcast moment of the season as the last question on there. So maybe that could be your podcast moment of the season.
Actually, one of my other Millwall moments was actually seeing Lurch in a shirt that was about 20 sizes too small for him at an away game. That was just fucking hilarious, man.
That definitely got a stir. I had to agree at the time online. So, yeah, and the last one I put on here before we... I've got one more afterwards, but we'll say it in a moment. Podcast moment of the season for me. I think obviously doing it the two of you, and obviously interacting with everyone on the Friday Night Lives is obviously up there. I'm also going to put in there, just for shits and giggles, find out that Mickey Simpson has a portion of chips with his curry in the curry house. So that's my podcast moment of the season. So, yeah.
Mate, you want me to do mine?
You want me to do mine?
Let's hear it.
I can do mine now if you want. What we've done this year, do you know what I mean? We launched off the back of a crazy idea, and we were going to launch properly last year, but because of COVID, we sort of put it back, and went, all right, let's just do it. And then we've done it. Then obviously got Neil on board later on in the year. And Neil's got some great stuff coming up for next season. But I just, you know, to go from a couple of shows a week, getting ex-players in and having the ability to talk to, you know, the likes of Marvin Williams and Robbie Ryan and Alex Ray, etc., and some of the older players actually getting to have a conversation with them and stuff was superb. We've got a lot of people who want to do Who Are You for next season, so that's great. But no, Friday Night Live, again, just an idea, just to get us through lockdown, and it worked. We had regular people every week. It was good. I think it was good. Watching Neil have a meltdown every week was superb every Friday. I look forward to that every Friday. And playing, what's in your glass competition was great. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I guess that's all I've got apart from one more question.
I want to add one thing. My podcast moment of the season, apart from coming on board on Friday Night Live, is actually... Yeah, Mickey touched upon it. He's spending an hour and a half, 2 hours in the company of some absolute top former players, like Darren Ward, Marvin Williams, Mark Phillips, Joe Dolan, and the just so many of them. Brian King.
Cherno Samba,
40. Yeah, George Jack. Just Paul Roberts, people like that, just absolute genuinely top blokes. Sits, Jesus, we did sits twice, didn't we?
Yeah.
We had sits on Friday Night Live, and then I did an hour and a half, 2 hours with him. And the Darren Ward one, he said, can we get this over within half hour? 2.5 hours later, we're still bloody chuntering away at it. it's just absolutely superb. Just to actually spend time with these people and to get to know these people. Mark Beard, a good mate of mine, chatting to him for an hour and a half just about youth football, and Alex Ray. That is actually my moment of the season, is just getting to one-on-one time with these guys and just chatting with them like they're your mates.
And fair enough. I think obviously if you guys haven't listened to any of the Who Are Yous, check out our podcasts before, and obviously there'll be a few of them on there labeled Who Are You, and be sure to listen to them. There's flows in there. Even Paul Moody, Neil done a show with, which was obviously a great show as well. So yeah, I mean, one more thing to sum up, guys, is just one word to sum up 2020-21. I'm gonna say it and just be obvious. I'm gonna say pandemic. That's quite easy for me. Neil, one word to sum up 2020-21.
Frustrating.
Mickey? On mute. That's probably a fair one for Mickey.
Yeah, well, mute is Mickey, isn't it?
Muted. That's it. There you go. Cunt.
Millwall, proper Millwall word, mate. It's been a cunt of a season. It's been a cunt of a year. And yeah, it's been a cunt of a job working with you two as well. But there you go.
I'll chuck in another 2020-21 Millwall, a Millwall moment of the season. I'll say the deadline day race, the charity donations, where we came top in that, because that's a Millwall moment if there's ever one from the season. So obviously we always do our bit, and obviously Mickey mentioned about the whole fiasco with Remembrance, but also Millwall coming top on the fans charity race. So
and also the other thing, I mean, they've done, as much as we're slagging them off and whatnot, and they've, let's not fucking beat around the bush. They've fucked up a bit this year, right? But the trust has done superb. Kelly Webster started up a new charity called Lions Food Hub. And he's doing superb. We've still got some posters we put up for shortly for them. It just seemed that it went a bit charity crazy for a bit, so I didn't want to flood everywhere, but we've got loads to cut out shortly. And I think other bits and pieces, what's gone on is they've really done well. There's been a few fucking major fuck ups, which we'll do about on another show, but
yeah. Positivity, come on. This is the season. Positivity.
It was good. Do you know what I mean? Considering that COVID hit them hard and whatnot, I think, to finish 11th is a good result in anyone's book,
I'm going to say that's the last of the 2020-21 season on this podcast, hopefully ever. And we will be back in a moment when we will discuss the squad at the moment as it is at recording from the 31st of May, and our thoughts going into the new season as well, another part. So we'll be back. Okay, guys, welcome back to part two. In this part, we're going to be discussing the current state of the Millwall squads and the playing staff and obviously what we have on our books at the moment. And I'm also going to read through just the retained list that the club released, I think, a couple of weeks ago now. Obviously, big departures were Shay Ferguson and Sean Williams, along with Frank Fielding, James Brown, Ryan Woods leaving on from his loan spell, Scott Malone then going, but also then becoming a permanent signing, which we'll go into in a sec, and Ken Sahor returned to his parent club. We've also got Alex Pearce and Matt Smith both being offered new deals. I think it's been muted the last couple of days that Pearce is going to sign that deal. Nothing yet on Matt Smith. On the under-23s, Rob Strachan, Harry Ransom, Ruben Duncan, Sam Skeffington and George Alexander left the club. Ollie Bate and Eskil Miller from the under-18s left. And then also we've retained and offered new deals to Ryan Stanford, Joe Wright, Bissart Topolodge, Jordan Gilmore, Arthur Penny, Alfie Allen, Nana Boateng, Tyrese Briscoe and Abdul Abdulmalik. And I think also more departures were Dan Moss, Jaden Davies. Oh, these are the guys that remain in the club. Dan Moss, Jaden Davies, Alex Mitchell, Hayden Muller, Sean O'Brien, Junior Tienta and Isaac Olafe, who obviously since got promoted with Sutton United. So that'll be an interesting talking point, which we'll discuss in a moment. Chaps, let's talk about the departures first. Obviously, the three main ones, well, two main ones for me, Shane Ferguson and Sean Williams, a bit on their service for the club, Neil, and obviously sad to see him go, really.
Yeah, you can't argue with what either of them have done for this club in different ways. Sean Williams came in, he was Hollywood signing, wasn't he, in a January transfer window. I don't think has ever really let the club down. He'll be marmite to some people, but he's given us pretty good service. Shane Williams, came in from Newcastle. I must confess, I haven't really heard of him. He came in and he's a steady kind of player, isn't he? He's not spectacular, but he came in and he did a job, as we like to say, down at Millwall.
I think it's like kind of the ending of the Neil Harris ilk players. Obviously, we've got a few that are the mainstays in the team, but dead rubber, you know, the likes of O'Brien going last season and now Ferguson going, Sean Williams going. It's like the kind of passing of the guard and more. This is what I think everyone looks at this summer as a big opportunity for Rout to stamp his mark on the squad. Obviously, I think the pair of them combined in the club statement, they said they made 512 appearances for the club. Williams, 7.5 years at the club. You don't often get that Mickey nowadays. 7.5 years, you know, midfielder, a lasting, obviously, 4 or 5 managers at the club as well. I mean, credit where it's due, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's 7.5 years in football is a long time, I suppose, especially in current climate. So, yeah, I think he'd done well. But he was just a Millwall sort of player, though, wasn't he? He knew what he was about, and he went out of his way all the time. So, yeah, it's a shame, really. Shame that that he wants to play more and not go into coaching. But I suppose never say never, he could be back.
I did wonder at the time when they released it, what was the muted words? But I know Wright has since said it in an interview that he does want to continue playing. Be interesting to see where he lands up. I think maybe a League One club, but wouldn't surprise me. He could suit the likes of Charlton. I wouldn't expect him to go to Charlton, but it wouldn't surprise me if he were to stay local. I'm pretty sure they would take a player like in League One for nothing, for sure. Obviously, Frank Fielding and James Brown also left. I mean, a bit on them just quickly, Neil. I mean, Fielding obviously played that cup game or two cup games, didn't he, this season? Obviously, was unlucky with injuries. He was Harris's number one at the start of last season, weren't he? So
that's right. And if he hadn't got injured, we probably wouldn't have got Bart, would we? He's
been off for the
last 2 years. Yeah. Good luck to him. Obviously, he's played for Millwall. He hasn't had a chance. But then again, he's got a player who's well on his way to being one of Mill's best ever goalkeepers in front of him. And Brown, has anyone seen him play? What's he played? One first team game?
Yeah, in one of those handful.
Mickey Mouse Cups.
That's it. I guess he didn't feel good anymore, Mickey. But, you know, it's one of those ones. So.
He's living in America.
I was waiting. I was sitting there thinking a minute ago. I was waiting to, like, for when someone turns around and says James Brown, I was going to play, I feel good.
But also quickly on loan departures as well. Obviously, so we'll talk about two signings, actually. Scott Malone has since signed a permanent deal with the club. I think everyone's happy with that business. You know, for me, it was if not Bart, he was maybe my player of the season on the outfield anyway. Obviously, Wallace gets a lot of credit, but I think for me, Malone was, you know, a real hero at left wing back and made a position of his own. Ryan Woods and Kenta Hall going, chaps. I mean, is that the end of Ryan Woods? Is he going to be back? I mean, go on, Neil.
I hope not. Yeah, well, I hope not on both scores, yeah. Well, you know what me and Mickey going into orbit, we're trying to be positive. Thanks a lot for the 2 seasons that you've had with us, Ryan. Hopefully we don't see you back.
Fairly put, I suppose. I think there's no more arguments for that. I mean, Mickey, Ryan Woods, is that your top signing for the summer?
My favourite word comes back. Cunt. It's definitely not my favourite fucking... I want someone who can score goals, not someone who can pass the occasional pass on a fucking penny. If he'd done it every time, be great. I mean, you know, everyone's saying, oh, he's a great player and all that. Yeah, he was okay. He's a good player, yeah. But he just doesn't fit into the style of play we're playing. He does occasionally.
Absolutely spot on. He will do somebody...
It'd be good
very,
for someone.
Very, very good job.
That's it. That's the irony, isn't it? Maybe the club, maybe next season could be the season we needed a Ryan Woods, especially if we sign a few players that Wright wants to bring in and help gel the squad a bit more. Then you might actually turn around and go, oh, I wonder if Ryan Woods was in this team, how we would do. But yeah, the last 2 seasons, I think you two didn't sugarcoat it that second half of the season, especially. But I always sit on the fence, so I'm going to get away with saying that. So, and also, obviously, let's talk about a couple of new contracts being offered. It's been muted, Alex Pearce has signed his new deal, but. What's your thoughts, chaps, on Pearce and Smith staying potentially? I mean, I think with Pearce especially, we were quite critical towards the end of the season of him. However, it sounds like from what's been said, it's very much, you know, look at Shaun Williams and Shane Ferguson going. It's maybe the two squad players filling that void in Smith and Pearce. Players that, you know, worst case scenario, they come into the team and do a noble job and try their best. Players that also lead the dressing room. I mean, Mickey, Pearce getting off the new deal. It's been muted. It's signed, by the way.
I think it's like when we lost Callum, we didn't have someone who can man-manage the team.
And Callum Davidson.
Yeah, Callum, yes. Yeah. Callum. I did say Callum, didn't I? What did I say?
You said Callum, but just in case people wait.
Yeah. Callum Davidson. When he left, I think that was, he was a man management, you know, he looked after the players as such. And Gary is probably more of your tactician sort of, you know, play sort of player. But I think that's what Pearce brings, is that he knows the players inside out. He gets stuff for him. If you read and listen to some of the interviews, what Gary's done, it just shows that he's good as gold. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's worthwhile keeping him in. But playing, I don't really understand what he's got to offer playing. It's slow.
My only caveat, I mean, Neil, I'll get your thoughts on Pearce quickly before we get on to Smith, but with Pearce, like, you do have to wonder, like, especially if it's offered, then it was lingering doubt whether he'll sign it or not. He's probably not been offered a better deal, and it feels like he's maybe settling a little bit to stay at Mill. I'm not for 1 second going to question his professionalism, because we've clearly seen what he does for the club off the pitch, in the dressing room. But it does feel a bit of a... It shouldn't have been a case of an odd deal's offered and leave it with him. I feel like we should have been, do you want to stay? Yes or no? And if he says no, all right, see you later. Let's get someone else in. I don't know if that's just me being a bit cynical there for no reason, but what's your thoughts on Pearce signing a new deal?
Mate, as we've been talking about this, I've just thought about a low point of last season, and that is that Gary Rowett did not show any faith in the youth team and the younger players, particularly in those last 3 or 4 games of the season that weren't, they were dead games, weren't they? And I think Alex Pearce re-signing is going to hold back potentially Hayden Muller. Maybe Alex Choi is very highly rated by the club, by all accounts. That's if you believe the 150 languages of bollocks that comes out of the manager's mouth at times. And I personally would have released him, but he's staying. So we have to get behind him. Hopefully he's just a squad player and that he isn't going to start too many games next season, because I'd like to see the likes of Muller brought on. And we've got plenty of cover in that position. And if he wanted another player, I'd rather that he let Pearce go and brought in somebody a little bit younger. obviously Pearce was probably on a good whack. He's no longer on a good whack, if we believe everything that's been said, that they've offered them much, much reduced terms. Maybe he's actually looked at it and thought, well, I ain't going to get much better anywhere else. And this is the highest level I'm going to play at, so I'll stay.
It stinks a little bit of, I think if he wants to keep Pearce, maybe keeping the five at the back option there, because then it's another central defender in worst case scenario end up playing. And I agree, like, we've been ridden with injuries this season. We've spoke about, you know, Parrott's injuries, the Hall's injury, Ryan Leonard getting injured halfway through the season, players that, you know, could have been potentially key linchpins to the side. And we're only a couple of injuries away from the likes of Pearce playing. And I agree with you, Neil, you know, definitely it holds back the younger players if he was to stay around. And I think it's been mutually signed, the deal. The club's not put anything official out yet. It wouldn't surprise me if the time we put this out, it's already out there. And then lastly, I guess on Matt Smith, just very briefly, I think we all agree. Injury. Go on, Mickey, you jump in there.
I think injuries hit him hard this season. And the fact that Gary didn't want to play him, whether or not he weren't properly fit, we don't know, because we found out that he'd been playing with an injury and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's as frustrated as probably he's been this season. It's been an absolute fucking cunt of a season for him as well, isn't it?
I'll go on a limb and say 24 teams in the Championship, I would say all 24 teams would want a Matt Smith on the bench with 25 minutes to go. You've got the opportunity to chase the game, lump the ball upfield, and we've fallen into that category, I think, where it's quite clear that Raya doesn't want him up front. However, when there's half hour to go, everyone looks at Matt Smith and goes, go on then, Matt Smith, go and get up there and make a carnage of yourself. And we all know what Smith's about. And I do think he falls into that category where any club would literally take a Matt Smith on the bench. If he's happy to stay and be that bench option with us, happy days. I do feel like, especially with nothing being said and obviously coming out about Pearce potentially signing that deal, it wouldn't surprise me if Smith maybe steps down a couple of divisions to play more frequently. We'll have to wait and see. But what do you reckon? He was agreeing with me there, I feel like, Neil, about that option with Smith.
Absolutely. I think that his body doesn't allow him to play twice a week, does he? Or, you know, does it? So Rabbit has to nurse him through as best he can. But there were certainly games last season where he came on in the last 10, 15 minutes and he made an audible difference to the side. Bournemouth?
Yeah.
Away? Mm-hmm. Yeah, where he just came on and created absolute fucking havoc, didn't he? Teams can't play him. Hopefully, he's just having a little shop around, seeing what offers he can get. And if he can't get anything in London or anything better in terms of money, then hopefully he stays, because I think he can contribute quite a lot to this squad. And I'd rather have him on the bench than Bavardson. I thought Bradshaw showed a little bit of potential, to be quite honest, at the end of the season. Had a couple of half-decent games, didn't he? But Smith has definitely got something there, and I think that we can't afford to release the goals that he can provide.
Agreed. I think that's, I think we've hit the nail on the head there, I think, with both Pearce and Smith. I think what we'll quickly discuss is we've actually made another sign along with Scott Malone, and that is a number two goalkeeper arriving. Obviously, we mentioned Fielding leaving, and then we've managed to sign George Long on a free transfer following his release from Hull City, who've just been promoted back to the Championship from League One. Making 8 appearances this season, he lost his position, and I think the season before last, he was their first-choice goalkeeper during their relegation season. I think he played 45 league games. A player with experience at this level, considering his age of 27, I think he fits his criteria of someone to push, Bart Bielkowski along the way and obviously provide competition. If we're honest, if Bart doesn't make a howler, Bart should play 46 games this season for us. So I think we're expecting that. But, you know, George Long, a hotly tipped young goalkeeper, Neil, and hopefully someone that can come in and just keep Bart on his toes, I suppose.
Yeah, let's face it, he's the backup goalkeeper, isn't he? So he isn't going to be. Yeah, he isn't going to be a world beater, but he's probably a steady player at this level. So hopefully he comes in and, as and when required, can do the job. Again, it's interesting that we've bought another goalkeeper in, yet Ryan Sanford has been here for, what, about 30 years and will probably have to go through the whole of his career at Millwall and they'll probably end up playing about three games or something. It's unbelievable, really.
I think Sanford falls into the category of a George Long, like someone that's got the league honours. I mean, the under-21s, under-18s, under-16 honours with England. I think Sanford played for under-16s with England. It's just he hasn't got them games yet, and I think he does need that break. Maybe it's an opportunity to put him out on loan. We'll have to see. We did keep him in. And like I said, we offered him a new deal in the retained list. And we've also offered that Joe Wright a new deal. So I wonder if it's an opportunity then to keep Joe Wright as a 23s goalkeeper, who I think probably will step into that position. And then maybe we might see Sanford go out on loan and see what he's made about in maybe the conference. Could be an opportunity for him there. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, we should be playing football manager and deciding all these decisions ourselves, I think. So, you know, Mickey, you got a word on George Long? Anything you want to say on that?
Looking at the whole fans and all that, I mean, it's obviously you always get the normal ones. Oh, he's fucking shit. You fucking good luck to him, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot in there what reckon that is an half-decent player who just needs a bit of coaching, a bit of guidance. And, you know, he's not necessarily number one material right now, but he's definitely capable of pushing for it. So, you know what, I think it's, you know, get some keepers coming up, and we seem to have some half-decent keepers coming up through the youth and whatnot. I think it's just a good time to have someone. If Bart is making mistakes, we can just put someone else on who's played in these games, you know, in the championship games and stuff.
Names that stand out on this retained list before I move on to the playing squad that we've got left. I mean, I mentioned Joe Wright, who's the goalkeeper. I think also we mentioned George Alexander leaving, I think, in a Friday Night Live. He put a post out, didn't he? And it's a shame. I think we've already discussed that. I think everyone already knows. It's a shame. I think all three of us share the same view. It's a shame it never really worked out. You got to trust the manager's decision, haven't you, there? So I think both of you agree with that. You know, if he's not playing for a reason, he's not playing. So he's moved on. Be interested to see where he lands up. I think he'll probably be like another Pavey situation, end up in the conference, see what he does. You have to wait and see. And another name that grabs out, I mean, two more actually that I want to mention, both in the conference at the moment on loan in the conference. Obviously, Isaac Olafe scoring goals and getting Sutton United promoted. I think he got 14 goals in the conference. Initially, if we remember, he went with Danny Mack up to Scotland at the start of the season. Didn't work out. Davison sent him back. And he's gone to Sutton, and, you know, some people could say that setback could be a real kind of issue for him. He was obviously, you know, regarded in good high prospect by Davison to go to Scotland in the first place. And then he's gone down to the conference and scored some goals. I mean, thoughts on Olafe, Mickey? I mean, are we going to see a bit of him maybe in pre-season? Is he ready for the championship? What do you think?
I honestly, I think he's probably... Yeah, is he ready for the championship between the conference and the championship? You know, massive world apart. But maybe he needs to stay with Sutton for another season, and you know, help give him another run. Well, you think he should come back to us then, Neil?
Yeah, Neil's shaking his head for the benefit of the audio listeners. Go on, Neil.
He's 21 years old. Yeah. If he spends another year, 18 months or year at Sutton, that makes him 22, 23. Yeah. It's too old to be trying in a championship. Let's see if he's any good. Let's give him this pre-season. Let's see if he's any good. Yeah. He really isn't a 17, 18 year old that you say, okay, he scored 14, 15 goals for Sutton next year, so we'll send him out to a League One club. And let's see if he's any good. And he comes back to us at 18 and a half, 19. Yeah. This guy is 21, pushing 22 or whatever age he is. He's getting too old. We've got to make a decision on him. We've got to either give him a go and you're good enough, or you're not good enough. We'll see you later. Yeah. He's too old to push out for another year down the line. That's my view. I'm probably at odds with Mickey, probably not for the first time, certainly won't be for the last time.
No, I think you're right. I think, look, I agree that he is possibly old, but I also think that the confidence he's gained, it you know, maybe trial him out for the pre-season, see how he gets on, see if he can, you know, score goals. And if he can't, then maybe sell him to Sutton, because allegedly Sutton's offered. I mean, I'm speaking to someone to try and figure out what the rumours are on there, and obviously get a lowdown.
70k, isn't it? About 70k, yeah, according to the signing Sunday or something.
Yeah, allegedly. But yeah, all depends who that story's by and whether or not it's the agent just trying to, you know, get him to sign, you know, Millwall to pull the finger out and get him signed, because I don't know when his contract ends or anything.
Well, I think it's one to watch.
I actually agree 100%. The jump between the Championship or the Conference and the Championship is big. But he's 21 years of age, for Christ's sake. Yeah? We've got to make a decision on him. We can't keep on pushing the can down the road. Then we might eventually have a look at him when he's 24 or 25. Yeah, he's 21. He should have enough experience to come in and play a game or two. So
I agree.
Make an informed decision.
A caveat to that is Danny McNamara is a year older than him, and McNamara had a loan spell way first half this season. And it might be Mills' best interest to not sell him and loan him back to Sutton. Let him keep scoring goals. I'm sure Sutton will be able to have him on loan if we decide he's not good enough for Millwall. But Danny Mack was a player that, you know, had three or four loan spells. I think he went Dover, then he went to Newport, then he went to St Johnstone. And I think this is where Mill fall into this category of we loan our players out too late, which is also a side note to my next player that I wanted to mention on the retain list. And the final one was Alex Mitchell. And I think Neil name checked him a little while ago saying he's highly regarded at the club. I mean, Mitchell was the centre-back partner to Hayden Muller in the team that got to the under-18s quarter-final against Chelsea. The pair of them seem to have struck up a good relationship together. And then, you know, Mitchell's gone out on loan lastminute.com to Bromley for the end of the season, all because of a fellow Mill, ex-Mill player, Brian Wilson, getting injured. And Bromley fans love him. And he's actually managed to get Bromley, or helped Bromley, it's not just him, into the playoffs. So we could have another player that could be playing in a playoff final in a couple of weeks' time. And a player that maybe could potentially be that player that kind of surprises us all. I mean, Neil, you mentioned him earlier, but a bit on Mitchell before we move on.
Mate, I was reading something that Rowett said about him the other week. Was it in the Southwark News on News at Den, or was it in the
South London Press?
I can't remember. But he seemed to talk him up, but he said he probably needs to play at a higher level than the Conference next season, which is fair enough. I don't know how old he is. How old is he? 18 and 19?
Yeah, I'd say 19, same age as Muller. So 18, 19, same age group.
So that's fair enough, yeah? Loan him out to a League One side or a League Two side, the higher side of League Two next season. Yeah, he's got a little bit of time on his side. Rowett seems to rate him highly. I think on the Friday Night Live when we mentioned him, I think we didn't have a red card last season. I think if he plays, he's going to get one or two. Apparently, well, he likes a bit of a strong challenge, the boy, doesn't he? So that'll go down well. But from everything I've read, I've probably seen him play for the reserves because occasionally you get those games on YouTube. So.
One to watch, for sure. One to watch.
Definitely.
And we'll see. I wanted to, just before we end this part of the show, just obviously discuss our playing squads. And just, obviously, we're no football manager or recruitment specialist here, but just the glaring obvious spaces we feel need to be improved. I think we've signed the backup number two, Frank Fielding left. The central midfield, we lost, obviously, Sean Williams. But then at the same breath, we've got George Evans, Kefton Beld, Billy Mitchell, Ben Thompson, that can play in that position. So that's four central midfielders. Obviously, we lost Ryan Woods as well. So it wouldn't surprise me maybe to see another central midfielder come in as Neil celebrates in the corner there. But also, I've got Ryan Leonard. So I think we've got enough central midfielders there for me to say we don't need a central midfielder. Central defence, we're going to have, obviously, Jake Cooper. Evans can fill in there. Sean Hutchinson. Obviously, I think Ryan Leonard played a game there, obviously, a couple. Hayden Muller, Alex Mitchell potentially, Myra Wallace. I think we'll probably need one more central defender to improve our side, personally. One more to sit in the centre of the pitch with regards to, obviously, Jake Cooper and Sean Hutchinson being the other two first choices, because I'm assuming we'll play three at the back again. And then the glaring one up top, lads, we need a number nine striker. We need a player that's going to score us goals when put through on goal. Anything you want to add to that, Neil?
I think he'll potentially need another left back, won't he?
I think Murray Wallace can play there as well.
Yeah, but he's actually lost Shane Ferguson, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So we probably need something over that side of the pitch. Mm-hmm. It depends on who comes and who goes. Yeah, time must be running out for Conor Mahoney to do something. Is he going to be frustrated at not playing? What's going to happen with Marlon Romeo? Is he going to be frustrated that Danny Mack ought to be our first choice right back. But he actually moved into central defence, and dare I say it didn't look half bad. He didn't actually let us down. At least he's got a bit more pace than Mr. Pierce, hasn't he? Up front is the glaring one, though, isn't it? Up front is the one area where we've got to pay up. I know that Mickey will disagree, but we've got to pay. We've got to spend the bulk of our budget. If we've got a transfer fee budget, the bulk of it has to go on the striker.
So, Mickey, on the striker...
It's cost us.
So, on the striker in front, before you jump in on reply to Neil, number nines, or registered number nines for the club, in that leader line role. We've seen Bennett play there, and I feel like Wright fancies him there, but I personally think he might play more on the left again as the season goes on if we sign a number nine. Bodvarsson and Tom Bradshaw and Matt Smith. If Smith goes, you're left with Bradshaw or Bodvarsson to lead the line. It's glaringly obvious we need to go in there and get that number nine striker, don't you think?
Absolutely. We need a proven striker. And it's music to my ears this year to hear that finally we're starting to scout in Europe again. And, you know, that's superb because, you know, Serie B or La Liga B or C teams, I bet there's a couple of good up-and-coming fucking strikers in there what, you know, we don't necessarily need to pay more, you know, loads for, but, you know, harvest them, get them playing well, then sell them for a profit. I think, you know, that's what we need. We need someone who's proven in the lower league, especially in Europe, who can play fancy stuff and just... you know, come here and fucking and smash goals in. As I said from the first part, we need, you know, one or two players that can score 10, 20 goals either out front attacking or an attacking midfielder. They're definitely what we need. They're the players we need, someone who can stick the ball in the net.
I know we don't want to be negative. I know we're talking about being positive, and I'll let you say your point, Neil, but one more thing to mention. Our main man has got 1 year left on his contract, Jed Wallace. And yeah. I feel like Neil's going to say the same thing here. If Jed was to go, or if Jed was to get injured, do we need another also creative outlet? If Mahoney, you know, is not up to scratch, that could be also something I think we need to address. Neil, you was going to jump in and probably say the same point as me. So, you know, great minds think alike and all that. But Jed Wallace, what's going on there? Nothing's coming out about that. 1 year left on his deal.
Mate, I was going to say we need to address the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is that Jed Wallace has been offered a contract and hasn't yet signed it. Am I worried? Well, I'd like to have seen him sign one at the end of last season or before the end of last season. Mm-hmm. Is his agent doing a little bit of a shop around? Almost certainly. I think COVID will hit recruitment in a big way. He's going to cost somebody 5 to 10 million, isn't he? Even though he has only got 1 year left on his contract, we're not going to let him go for a few hundred grand. If the club announced tomorrow that he was staying, I'd be absolutely fucking ecstatic, and that would render this part of the podcast completely irrelevant. But I feel that we need to show that we also need to show Jed Wallace a statement of intent that we're going to get that player in that he can provide for and that's going to put the ball in the back of the net and that will have us probably matching his ambition, which should be up and around the playoffs in this division.
Couldn't agree more.
I think you're in a dangerous position though with Jed. Is there's been too much this season especially, we've known he's good, but this season especially, on quite a few games, he's been that focal point. You know, without him, we wouldn't have done a lot of things. You know, certain ways we played, the certain ability he brings, the certain passion he brings, and it just brings a different thing. And then you get the manager's thing going, you know, Jed was out there on his own today. Jed was fantastic, blah, blah, blah. You're in a dangerous position because now you've got a player and agent who's going to come to the negotiation meeting going, well, you said he's invaluable to the team, so what are you going to offer? Well, that figure doesn't really look like he's invaluable to the team to me. We've got interest elsewhere. And then if he does go, well, you know, you've got to bring in a player to do, you've then got to spend the money and hope that you're not going to upset the apple cart by the contract you offer him and the contract what comes in with someone else. So I definitely wouldn't want to be in the club on the negotiation side of that deal.
It's too simple and naive to suggest what would happen if Wallace wasn't here, because Wallace not being here means someone else could have been in that position and played his position. But let's be frank, if Wallace wasn't available this season, it does make you think, like, you know, he's almost that side, but without Wallace's goals, it's obviously a glaring thing there where if he wasn't around, where the fuck would we be, Neil?
But the ball's in his court though, isn't it? He can literally demand what he wants.
And I'll give him what he wants. I'll give him whatever he wants. Go on, Neil.
Yeah, but go on your missus. There you go. No, Yeah, but in all seriousness, where would we have been? I don't know. Well, I think if you take his goals out of the equation, I know you like doing these kind of things, so you could probably work it out. We'd be up shit street, wouldn't we? He is our best player. I really want him to stay. I hope he does stay. But it's out of our hands, isn't it? Hopefully his agent is a bit more realistic and that when he goes to other clubs, the other clubs are saying, oh, well, we haven't got the same kind of wages because of COVID. It's the one time I would actually love to hear COVID as a fucking excuse used and people making cutbacks because of COVID, because it could be the difference between him signing and not signing.
So that's the thing.
If he doesn't sign, he has to go. Well, we have to sell him. We can't afford to let him go for nothing at the end of the season.
Agreed. I think that's it, though, when you look at the facts of it. I think we're not far away from pre-season already, chaps. I know, like, obviously it comes and goes very quickly, but with the season ending, I think, on the 9th of May, the players already been off for 3 weeks. They're normally off for 6 weeks, and that's a luxury these days because, you know, normally season ends late or playoffs, whatever. I think, you know, managers always say they want bodies in the door by the time pre-season starts. I think we're probably 3-4 weeks away from that. Maybe the 21st of June could be an early mark for that on the 8th, or 28th of June. So we're not far away from signings happening, I feel. And hopefully we do see some good positive news in the coming weeks that can lead us to that. I think we're done for part two here, lads. I mean, unless, Mickey, you got something else you want to add in?
Just my feeling on Chad. I mean, you think realistically. I mean, he's 27, but he's, you know, is he coming into his prime? Because the last two seasons, he's scored 10 goals on each one, and you know, the season before it's 5 and 10 and 10. And considering we're COVID, if it weren't with everything with COVID, would he have scored more? So, I mean, realistically, looking at his stats, he's a prime signing potentially for other clubs. So, I mean, as I said before, I just wouldn't want to be on that negotiation to try and think, because you're fucked if you do, you don't, didn't you? You know, you're going to be damned if he goes. We're going to fucking cunt the club off, our fuck's sake, you let him slip out. But to be fair, it's probably, his agent's probably told him, oh, you can get more money here. I mean, he signed a 3-year deal, 2017, so that was a long deal then, and he was only, 24, 23. So he's now coming towards the end of his career. The only benefit, I suppose, what stands in his favour is that he's playing near enough every game.
He's loved by Millwall as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he had a bad spell at Wolves. I think we could bang the drum about what it's for a while, lads. I think I'm going to call it there and say we'll
move on to part three. You could easily see Fulham coming in for him, actually. You could easily see
that's a
team
fear.
Like Fulham.
A fear of me.
West Brom.
Yeah, a team getting relegated from the Premier League.
Yeah,
that's it. So that's the fear, isn't it? But yeah, I'm going to call it there. Part two done. We'll do a show talking about sign-ins and all sorts, I'm sure, in the coming weeks anyway. And we'll be back with part three in a moment. And welcome to the final part of the show. We're just going to initially give our hopes and expectations for next season. I think, you know, we've said 2020-21's done now. It's all about 21-22 season. And obviously where we see Millwall ending up next season. I'll start with the obvious. I think 6,500 season ticket renewals is what the last statement from the club was. And for that point, at this point of the year, to be at that stage, exciting expectations going into the season. Mickey, I know you're always a fan of the numbers and the club figures and obviously what's being said. What are you hoping for next season, mate? Off the pitch and on the pitch?
On the pitch, I think we're going to finish fairly well. I think we'll be in playoffs this season. on the new season. I'm going to go positive.
He said it now. That's it. 31st of May. Stick your money on it. Stick your money on it.
Mickey says I think, playoffs.
That's it. 31st of May.
I think we'll be playoffs. I think we're going to end up getting a couple of players that are going to score thing. I reckon Bardson's going to definitely score those 15 goals so that poor old Omar has to streak down Summit Park Road. Absolutely nailed on that one. And no, I just look, the season ticket's great, and we're probably going to this a bit more on another show we've got coming up, but I think the season ticket's great, but you've got to take it into perspective and think, actually, the large number of them were from last season, so they're not 3,000-4,000 people paying £400-500 a time. They're probably people paying.
You're wrong. It was 2,500 renewals last season. 2,500.
Well, okay. So 4,000 people paying full price, but 2,500 people not paying full price. They're paying 30, 40, 50 quid each or whatever it is. So financially for the club, it's hard. The amount of money they lost last year. What do I hope for the coming season? Well, it'll be an interesting one to watch and a slightly different show coming where we will or I will be updating you on the regen stuff. But yeah, that showed its ugly head again. So yeah, it is what it is. But no, I think high times. I think we get playoffs and I think hopefully we can get as near to full crowd at the Den will be superb.
I hope, let's just be honest, I hope that 6,500 of us at least will be able to go to the games. If that was the number it has to be, so be it. I can't wait for some away days. You know, new teams coming to the division. I think it's also the three teams that got relegated. West Brom, help me out, lads. Who else? Sheffield United. And who was the other one?
Fulham,
of course. A nice London away day. We need them London away days. I think I sent a little map to the chat earlier. It's the most northern division I can remember in a long while, isn't it? I think, you know, we lost some teams this season, but, you know, Wickham going and stuff like that. The three promoted teams as well, wasn't it? Blackpool, Hull, and, come on.
Peterborough.
It's going to come to Peterborough. That's not too bad, I suppose. There you go. Go on. So what's your thoughts for next season, Neil? Just initial thoughts. Obviously, Mickey's already gone out there and said we're going to make playoffs. But what's your thoughts going to season, mate?
I'm not going to be as bold as Mickey. I want to see what our striking options are before I make a bold prediction. Because obviously, if we've got Bavardson and
he's going to score 15 goals, mate.
Yeah, well, I don't know what.
Yeah. I'm gonna put a fiver on that. Do you know that?
I'll tag you in the tweet when he leaves the club in the next 4 weeks. I'll tag you in the tweet. That's not me in the know, by the way.
I don't think anyone will buy him.
Well, we'll see. Pay him up.
I think I'd settle for above where we are. 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. It's well punching above our weight. If we get a decent striker in that can score some goals and we shore up one or two other positions that we've touched upon and Jed stays, well, then there isn't any reason why we can't be pushing for the playoffs and around that area. The three clubs that came down, they're going to be up there or thereabouts again, aren't they? Let's face it, because they always are, because of the parachute payments and everything else. It gives them a long head start on us, doesn't it? There's us seeking out a bargain. And the geezer that owns West Brom can afford to go and give their manager £10 million to replace that crock that we've sent back. Let's face it. So,
and if Bournemouth stay with their squad as well, you'd expect them to be in and around it. But then that opens the space up because, you know, they, like I said, the top two teams this season went up. Were the two teams that got relegated and Bournemouth were in and around it. But the door's open there for a couple of teams to surprise us. And I think we'll be one of them. I do think we'll be one of them. I'm not going to say we'll be the playoffs. I'm not going to go on a limb like Mickey said there. However, I am confident with the Den coming back, the Den facts of crowds being there. I'm working on a basis that we're going to have fans there. Someone can shoot me down if they want. I hope neither of you two do. I hope you two are just as positive as I am. We're going to have fans back next season. We're going to have some away days. and enjoy ourselves. We're going to go Blackpool and get a B&B, hopefully for free. Neil knows a contact or two, so you know that can be done. And we're going to have a good time.
Yeah,
that's it.
A couple of knocking shops. Yeah, no, I'll have a couple of knocking shops.
As long as they don't fucking put us on a Tuesday night game, and hopefully it's a Saturday, then yeah, definitely we're definitely be doing a boat to fucking Fulham.
Yep. That's true. That's definitely something that we'll sort out. And yeah, I think that's it. Let's be hopeful. Next season's going to be fun. That's the only thing I'm going to say. I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be classic Millwall probably. Something's going to happen along the way. I'm sure we'll get a lot of negative press still, but maybe it could be that Millwall season that, you know, we run riot and could be sitting in the top, could be sitting in the top two. Who knows?
That was possibly the wrong word there, but yeah, no, you know.
We're going to run riot. We're coming back. We're back. I'm saying it.
I wouldn't
running
actually
riot.
Bank on us having many away days, to be quite honest.
No, that's my only concern.
Don't shoot me
not
down.
To start off with. Not to start off with, yeah? And I hope that all 6,500 people that have got season tickets can get into them. Yeah, I think
just check your season tickets, see if you've got A or B written on there.
Yeah, that's right. Because I think I might be waiting a little while to get into a game. But hopefully, actually, Mickey knows somebody with a corporate box that can sneak us in for the first game. But no, well, I just can't wait to get up to London and to be fucking bored to death and frustrated at a Millwall game again.
Yeah. Celebrate the win afterwards in the pub and drown your sorrows in the pub afterwards when we lose. It's the Millwall way. That's it. That's all I
Yeah, but then we go for a curry with chips with Mickey, don't we?
Bingo, exactly. Maybe do a live show in there one day as well. Who's to say whatever? But
a bit like fucking Crouchy, do you know what I mean?
That's
it.
I forgot the
Samrat.
Well done. That's it. But look, I think obviously being serious about the team and the pitch for myself, I think we're two or three top signings away from having a side that injuries forbidden.
We're gonna have
can
one of the
really
best
compete in this division, and we're gonna have a good pitch. Like obviously, we're laying up the pitch. I think it's the first time since the den's been built, right, that they've took the whole ground up. So, you know, we're gonna have a good footballing pitch. I do think we're two, three players away. It's just whether we get the right two or three heads in. That's the question. And if we stay away from injuries, it's always the way, isn't it? So, I think we've run our course. I mean, anything else you do want to chuck in?
Well, don't forget, as of next Monday, I will be joining MFC, which is the Millwall Fat Club. And I'm going and joining as a participant of the Trust and the Premier League and the Football League's initiative, where slightly porky fellas like myself will be able to be given some motivation and whatnot through the Trust. It's on our tweets, it's on their tweets, it's on the club tweets. There's still time to get involved. I think it's a 12-week course. And, yeah, mate, in 12 weeks' time, you can follow my journey. But in 12 weeks' time, I'll be a slim, good-looking hunk of a bloke.
I'm too young to be considered into the MFC Fat Club.
Fuck you.
However,
it's not MFC.
Mate,
yeah, MFC.
What,
yeah.
You called it the MFC.
Called it MFC, yeah.
But
Millwall Football Club, but it's Millwall Fat Club.
Millwall Fat Club. I'm too young to be considered, but I'll tag along in your mind with it, mate, and help with the
journey. You meet me in the pub afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go get the Spoons Tapas free for a tenner and enjoy ourselves afterwards and have the exotic life. But I think we've run our course for the show tonight, lads. It's been a pleasure to record again. It's been a few weeks, but hopefully we're back with a bang, and hopefully next season is the season we're hoping for, really. Neil, you got anything else you want to add before we shoot off, mate?
No, not really. Just thanks to everyone for their support throughout lockdown, and you two for putting up with me through two lockdowns, and just glad to be doing this again, yeah? It's been emotional. I've missed it, and it's just great to be back. Have a smile on all three of our faces talking about the club that we love.
That's it. Back stronger. I think we've ran our course, and that's the Hacienda point for us. And we'll be back. I'll say next week. We'll be back with another show next week, guys. Speak to you soon. you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Twitter at That Millwall Pod. It is at That Millwall Pod, right?
It is. Everything across social now is there at That Millwall Pod. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, etc., etc. is all
Mickey,
at That Millwall Pod now.
Unified all of it for us. And check out our website, www.thatmillpodcast.com. If you haven't already, leave us a review on Spotify or on iTunes. And if you're really kind, do it on both. Leave us 5 stars only and be sure to say what you think of Neil. And yeah, thanks for tuning in.